Last week was our Christmas party, and so we sang. Chesley and me sang, right? And this is what Pastor Lena said: "I'm glad you're not on this worship team; you're on the preaching team." So really, I decided I wanted to sing today, but no, I'm not. Oh man! All right. No, so like because of Christmas, right? So I was basically thinking, okay, Christmas and all. But this was like in November, and I was like, man, that's early for Christmas. But I was like, hey, I like to celebrate. And so I was like, okay, you know the, what's the carol? Gloria in Excelsis Deo, right? So I was like, wonder what that really, like, if there's some backstory or something to that. And so I went really looking for that, and I've stumbled onto something else, and which is very funny because so Luke chapter 2, right? So for some reason, I don't know why we have this tradition during Christmas or the month of Christmas, people read the book of Luke, one chapter every day. Does anybody know why? Do you know why? Nobody knows why. Even I don't know. I just asked. Because sometimes you have to question, right? And say, hey, why are we doing this? What we do is like, oh, we are told to, we have four candles and we are going to burn one every week. I was like, okay, who came up with that? You know, just some part to it. Oh, Julia knows? Julia? Yeah. Correct. But no, but why the whole book? Yeah. And she's right. What she's saying is right because Luke chapter 2 is the only part in all the four gospels that is unique. And it is only in Luke chapter 2 where, you know, you have Jesus going into the manger, you have all the shepherds and all. And so I really was like, okay, people preach about Jesus and, you know, Mary. And like, you know, I was like, who are different in this? And I looked at the shepherds and I was like, what are these shepherds up to? Like, why? Right? So I was like, you know, because the angels went to the shepherds. Wait, why the shepherds? I can't make sense. So I was like, okay, you know, I've heard people preach the shepherds were the outcast of the, you know, there is no scriptural or there is no historic evidence of that. That in Greek, well, like, you know, in the Greek system, yes, they considered shepherds low. In the Egyptian, yes, they considered shepherds low. Not in the Hebrew. It is a myth. It is a myth. And there's a book out there which says there are 40 misconceptions of what we believed of in the Bible. And the Hebrew, because if you think of it, Abraham, Jacob, all these guys were shepherds. Abraham was considered a leader in his tribe and, you know, in wherever he was a man of influence. So in the Hebrew customs, there is nothing like that. Okay? Just getting it sure. That's why I ask questions, think about why you believe something or why you understand something, and then go by that. Because, you know, we get preached to by different thing, people, and we just assimilate that, and that becomes truth, and that really is not the truth. And that's how we basically, our experiences and everything guides us and changes sometimes what the Bible really says. And so just knowing that, and it was, I think, in the Greek, it was Aristotle who said that the shepherds are lazy and get paid for looking after sheep who take care of themselves. That's what Aristotle said. Yeah, but that's in the Greek, this thing, and that's why they look down on it. That's why when, what's his name? Joseph went up to the Pharaoh, he said, tell them that you are a shepherd and we'd go into the land of the Goshen because the Egyptians considered them lowly and smelly. And so they would not interfere with them. You go to your land and that is your land. So, but it's just funny. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. It says, in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out in the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. Some people say vicinity, some people say country, you know, and then it is like, think of it. Do we consider ourselves shepherds? Like, if we had the society, the strata of society, you know, we are all different kind of strata if you have to consider that. But the lowliest form, if we had to believe what they're saying, they were out over there, they were working the night shift. You think of it, it's like you're working the night shift at Taco Bell. You know, because we drive through Taco Bell or something. So, like, no, but just think of it, it's like you're working minimum wage, you're at the night shift, you're working out there. There is no comfort. There is no TV. I can spend time watching TV and do my work or something. No, you're on that. You get stupid people coming and, you know, ordering. You get all forms of this thing. I want red sauce. I want this fire sauce. I'm like, what the heck? I don't think I would enjoy that. And you can't understand them. Your headphones are, and, you know, they talk to the squawk box. Like, wow, wow. And you basically, like, you know, it's the worst job. Okay? Don't go to Taco Bell. But no, but I'm think of it. This is the worst job because shepherds really don't even own the sheep. In the biblical time, the shepherds never owned the sheep. They were the farmers or whoever, like, gave them their sheep, said, here, you go. And that's what David did. David took the sheep, whichever his father owned, and he sent him. So his father really didn't care much about David in that sense. And he just sent him out, and he said, go do whatever you have to do. Take care of them. Bring them back. Okay, so think of it. So the 2 points, really, there is one more suddenly which got dropped in my heart, was first, identify with shepherds, right? Most people will identify in the kingdom of God that I'm no good, I'm useless, I have nothing that God really wants me to do. There's that part of where we sometimes will go, it's like, you know, in our down moments or whatever, we basically say, not me, no, no. Don't think I'm qualified enough to do that. And God wants you to know this part of it is that, hey, even if you are a shepherd, he means good for you. Because in this Luke chapter 2, the angels went out to the shepherd. They didn't go to the high priest. They didn't go to the temple. They didn't go. He went out to the people who were out there who really had no, there's no history of these shepherds even praying. There's no history of these shepherds even saying that. But the heart of God was set on that because he calls himself the good shepherd. Yeah. There was something about these shepherds that was good that Jesus himself identifies himself as a good shepherd. He doesn't say, I'm the senior most amazing carpenter. He doesn't say that like, oh, I'm like the winemaker. Or he doesn't say that, oh, I'm the healer. He considers himself a good shepherd. I have no answer to that. I have no answer, and I don't think I even want to know in a sense, but I just have this understanding that God's heart is towards the people who consider themselves downtrodden, outcast. Whoever you consider yourself, in your mental makeup, in your mental psyche, you consider yourself whatever, like the lowest form of strata, I am dust. Even like how David said, I'm dust, I'm dirt, you know, I'm the worm, whatever. So everybody in this place, even if you are there, God wants you to know that he wants to meet with you. His glory, because it's all about this glory. So if you understand the song which I was thinking, or the carol I was thinking, Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo, right? So I'm like, Gloria, it has to be glory. But it's glory to God in the highest. Okay, and so when you go to the scripture, this is what it says. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. You see, the angel of God showed up over there. God sends angels in our life. They're always, in fact, yesterday we were at a party and somebody comes to me and goes, hey man, I heard you met an angel. I met this person like 2 hours ago, and he basically tells me, he's like, you met an angel. And I goes like, what's he talking about? And then I was like, oh, he must be referring to when, so you know when Harvey happened, I was walking home, right? And I walked into the bayou, and I almost drowned. I had my flip-flops on. I went into the bayou, and somehow I clawed myself out with my flip-flops, very important. You know, don't lose anything. Like, you know, so I came out with my flip-flops. And it literally, at that moment, I go, it's like, I have a purpose in life. I never died because I have stuff to do. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. And I walk maybe like, say, here to John at the back of the room. And this man in a garbage bag walks by me carrying a flashlight. Now, he's a black dude. He's just walking. I asked him, what's he doing? He said he just finished work and he's going home. So I was like, okay, I'm not asking where you're going and all. We are all going in the general direction, right? So it's like we keep walking, not saying anything. We're walking through water and everything. But he has the light. And then he tells me, I'm going to turn now. I have to go this way. And I was like, okay. Now I'm like, okay. Now in your mind, you're thinking, right? Because this is 1:30, 2 o'clock in the night. You're walking in the dark and in water and all. Now I'm like, how am I going to find this? And all. And then suddenly as he walks, I find the staff lying on the in somebody's yard. And I just pick it up. And that's how I walk to our apartment, finding like tapping in front of me and going. Because I was like, I don't know how to go. If you consider that, yeah, that was an angel. I don't know. Like, you know, who in the world would come my path, walk with me over there? And then, because it's in the randomness, it was the timing of all those things and me finding that staff. God sometimes sends angels in our life, not for the whole course. He sends angels of our life in the moment where we need help. Because the Bible says he will send ministering angels to you. What he must have ministered to me was basically just, hey, calm down. You have company. You're not alone. Let me walk with you. And then from then on, that staff was there. The providence of God was there. Now, these guys, the shepherds, they look at the angel and the glory of God flashed and shone all around them. Now, that's the display of heaven. Okay? When the glory comes in the house, and this is how I'm going to preface it. I'm saying when the glory comes in the house, you're not going to have to, let me click a picture, let me cut this thing. It will automatically publish itself. So when the glory comes, it will be evident. It's like, you know, when gold dust comes. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but I really don't want to be looking through a magnifying glass. I want to see rain. I want to see the rain because I don't believe God is limited. You know, and I believe in small things, honor the small things and all that. But I really want to see that kind of display where it's like smeared on my face, where oil is dripping. Okay, that is the glory of God shown upon them. Okay, think of it, King style. Okay, don't think about it like Taco Bell style. Okay, let's give you, even though you're shepherds and whatever I told you all to be, but think of it, this is God in heaven. He wants to do stuff. He wants to do it well. He wants to rock this world. This is about his son. Okay? And that's what you are called to basically reveal to the world, his son Jesus. You're not called to say, yeah, take a little pill of Jesus. Tomorrow I'll come and give you another one pill of Jesus. Nah, let's rock this world with Jesus. Just the glory of Jesus, let it go forth. You know, and so these people are there, and they're frightened. And what was funny is that I had a moment like this. So in 2007, I think we bought the house in Missouri City. I was in Vancouver flying in to go there. And that evening in Vancouver, I'm sitting on my laptop, and I have the sense there are angels in this room. And literally, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine and my mom, and I said, there are angels in this room. I have to go. Closed it. Boom. Next morning, I get up. And I'm like, wait, what happened to these angels? Where are these angels? And, you know, now what? So anyway, you know, I have to catch a morning flight because I'm coming here to sign all the 2,000 papers. And basically, I come to the airport, and they lose my passport. So I'm stuck at Burger King at Vancouver Airport outside. Hey, there's something. We're going somewhere, maybe. And suddenly, I feel this thing on my hand. I'm writing prayers. And I never do that, really. I never write prayers. I'm writing prayers, and I'm weeping and crying. And I have this, and literally, people are like looking at me and weird. This guy's weird. It's like, you know. But that's how it was. I can't stop it. I don't know where the book is. I'll find it one day. But it's basically like, you know, the small book, and I just kept writing. And then I realized, oh, I did have an encounter possibly with the angels, and it was something that, you know, when God releases from his throne, he releases angels to give you something or empower you with something. What he did to these shepherds was he said, hey, I want to tell you something that I'm sending glad tidings. I'm sending something good. And this is what it says. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. A a great joy. It doesn't even minor it and say, something good will happen. You know, it's like something good. No. And it's funny that your name is Ruth, right? Yeah, Ruth, I had this thing behind, and I was like, you smile so much, but I'm telling you that this coming season of your life, you're just going to smile more than you have ever before. And it's funny, is that all that you have, like, you just smile. And it's going to become big as that smile. It's going to become bigger than you have ever seen. And you'll be like driving people crazy. And I'm telling you, it will drive people crazy because that joy is so contagious that either they will reject it or they'll accept it. And you will have that, and that's how your cup will overflow. And for the longest time, you have said, okay, God, this is sufficient. No. There's coming a time where your cup is going to overflow. You're just going to go joy. And you'll be like, why am I so happy? I don't know. But like, here, rub it off, and that's what is going to happen. Does it make sense? Okay. Yeah. And that's funny. It's like, but that's how... Because I heard God say, comfort, comfort ye my people. And what was happening in this room, in the realm when we were ministering and all, this Isaiah 41 was comfort. God wants to comfort each and everyone in this place. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what your challenge is, doesn't matter how it looks. God's idea for you is to comfort you. He wants to now comfort you. He wants to set your heart at a good place. He wants to make you know that this great joy is coming. Okay? It's not for some other day. It is coming because he's sending angels right now. The reason we talk about angels, we talk about this, the more we start talking about angels, the more it grows. Like I was saying, the glory. When we talk about the glory, we see that little glory, it increases and increases and increases. But that's how angels are also. When we create this communication with God, God wants to send his angels to say, hey, they really want to know what's happening in heaven. My children want to know this. Here, let me send more angels. And that's how it will work. Because what we have done is this. We have taken whatever, say I have an encounter. Do you think I was bragging when I told you my encounter? I just want you to know this. Because at this point, this is where the veil is, right? Because we take our encounters and we hide it. And if I hide my encounter with God, how will you know that you are allowed to have an encounter with God? Like how we were saying, permission. The permission is there. But nobody told you, oh, wait, how's that angel? Does it have to look like this? What? Nah, it is God. When you ask of him, he says he sends these ministering angels. He says he makes you like, you know, ministers of fire. And that's how it is. Like when from the throne room, when these angels who are around the glory come, they carry with them this glory. They carry with them this fire. And when you encounter these angels, your life will change. And I'm not about just angels. I want Jesus. You see, this precursor about angels coming is the angels came to them to tell them the good news that a great joy is coming to Israel, that your Savior is born today. Do you see that? The angels are a precursor of the glory of the risen King Jesus. That's what you have to know. The angels are not the primary thing. The angels are like, we love them, we love whatever the ministry and all is, but hey, the angels are here to proclaim the glory of the risen Son, Jesus. That's it. Everything you think about, everything you do, you have to come to that place where, hey, it's all about Jesus. You know, in all this thing, the one who wants to comfort you, the one who wants to heal your heart. And it's even right now, it's like, I feel this in my heart. Like, what was the second song we sang? It's a Christmas carol, Joyful... Oh, Merry Gentlemen. And you know when he said that comfort or something, comfort and joy? Tidings of comfort and joy. Like at that moment, my heart cracked. My heart started weeping and crying. And I'm like, wait, this is supposed to be happy. Tidings of comfort and joy. But that's where the part was where God is saying, comfort, comfort you, my people. The tidings of comfort and joy is like me sending you telegrams, me sending you cards, me telling you the responsibility given to me in my heart is comfort, comfort ye my people. Not preach this message. Whatever it takes. at this moment in time, whatever your heart situation is, this is what God wants to do right now. Comfort you. And when he says, comfort, comfort ye, my people, he says it twice. It is established. This is what God wants to say. Comfort, comfort ye. So it doesn't matter what you think it is. It doesn't matter, I don't know how to say it, whether your heart has got calloused or you just said, nah, this is not for me. No, no, no. God wants to change things. And it's funny that we have that. And I have a lot of things which God spoke. Things that are resisting are going to be broken like rotten wood. It's like buried dead, but his spirit, the spirit of Jesus, will speak life. And you said something of 2019 is dead. And that's what it is. This 2019 or this experiences that you have gone through this year or years in the past is like wooden boards which have buried you. And God saying that, hey, these wooden boards are rotten because it is out of corruption. It is not out of me because spirit is life. He said, these boards are going to break. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over all these dead things, all these things that come to bury people in the mind, in the spirit, into everything, oh God. And we just speak, be broken. Be broken. We speak life. We speak life. The spirit of Jesus, I release that spirit of prophecy. I release that spirit of life into every heart, into every mind, into every burial scene. I speak the life of Jesus, the visitation of Jesus, that every Lazarus has to arise in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yeah, how will things happen? Ebony, I have something for you. I believe that God wants to, it's funny that I've had this feeling that you need healing, but I also have this feeling that you are anointed to heal people. Does it make sense to you? Have you ever tried that? Has anybody ever told you this? One other person told you. And I'm just going to affirm it because the time is now. The time is now. And it's for the longest time you have been, it's like the worst, it's like a saying. It's like shuffling paper. You have been shuffled in and out of churches. You have been shuffled in and out. And nobody has told you that what you are called to do. And I just believe this, that right now, even as you, I release this healing anointing over you. It is for your body, but you are supposed to lay hands on people and start praying. It's an activation thing. And what is going to happen is like, you'll just suddenly see, it's like, there was something about like, you held your hand up like this. Okay, I don't know if you can catch that. So you put your hands out and you're worshiping, and the people are going to come around you who are going to hold up your hand. And you must be tired doing stuff by your own right now. But it's like God wants to even release you into this thing. And we know Tori, and you know, but I just believe there's nobody has told you that what your calling is, that what you, the strength of you, this thing. And in the name of Jesus, we as a church come over and we just release that healing anointing over your head right now, head to toe. Release. Go forth, heal, preach, do whatever it takes. Release that compassion of God. Even as Cammy was saying, the compassion, that compassion. So we just pour it out over you. And release that healing anointing from the throne room. I just release it, head to toe. Just receive. Just receive. Find people to pray. Find people to pray. Find people to pray for. Just go. Just go. Just even right now. And even if you want, go pray for Jen. Just go for pray for Jen right now. I have that in succession, Ebony and Jen. You just release it on Jen right now. So, Father, we just release it over her right now. Just release it right now. We just release that healing, oh God. We just release that healing of God, oh God. Just receive, Jen. Just right now. Just healing. We just speak healing in the simple things. In the simple things. By the Spirit of God. And by the obedience, we just release that. Everything, even with the years, heal right now. Every year, left ear, any kind of ringing, any kind of obstruction to the hearing in the left ear. Right now, we release healing. We release healing right now. Just right now. Receive. Just receive. Ha. Yeah. Yeah. The other song we sang, He is ready to tear down every lie. He is ready to tear down every lie. And everything that you have lied to yourself, whether it is, I'm just a lowly shepherd, or I cannot do these things that God has called me, or God doesn't want to visit me, or God doesn't want to do these things for me, we are here to tear it down right now. So in the name of Jesus, we tear it down. The love of God is ready to tear those things down even right now. Every year, just right now. Just right now. In the hearing, it's what you're hearing. Just right now. Just God wants to bring you to that place where you believe. To believe again. To believe. Do you believe that when Lazarus came out of the grave that he believed again? He would. Because he died, he went, and he came back again. And Eric, to you, the justice will come. The justice will come. I have no idea. When you stood up, it was like literally, you know, you're just wanting something to be settled. You're wanting something to be, and it will come. It will come. The justice will come. I have no idea. I just wrote, justice will come. God is in the business of justice. He's a just God. Not only even as he heals, he restores, he gives us justice, he sets us on the right path. Even people, it's like I just feel this, and I'm just going to go. There are people who you know who are not in their right minds. Anybody in this place? Not in their right minds. So Father, we just pray right now, God, and we release healing. This is what we are proclaiming from this very presence of God. We release healing to everybody who's not in their right mind. Every alter ego, every kind of personality disorder, right now, we command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. We just release healing. We just release healing and deliverance. I call in deliverance. Yeah, I call in deliverance. The strength and the power of God is not limited. We call in deliverance, oh God, that years after years, even if they were born with a kind of influence like that, oh God, we break it off, oh God. 38 years can be broken. Broken. It doesn't matter if you said, I grew up with it. It doesn't matter. That lie has to be gone. Has to be gone. Has to be gone. I'm fed up with lies. Yeah, don't give in to those things. And even as John was saying, it's like he sets us in families because of that, the lie and the deception. When you put yourself alone, you go on your own path of it. And it says, he puts the lonely in families. And that's where this thing is. You try to attack, right? The enemy tries to attack, but God doesn't want you to be lonely. You know, one thing is God is always with you. But it's not, you think of him as singular. I think of him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're always four. We're always a company. The cab is taken. Hey, whoever you want to travel with you, I travel with three. You know. So, however you want to look at it, you are never alone. And verse 12, and it says, this will be a sign to you by which you will recognize him. So he's talking about Jesus. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Then suddenly there came an angel, an army of troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, glory, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace upon men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor. And then comes all the chorus. So it's like this angel comes, he gives you the word, and suddenly they have this, you know, the second act, and it's just like boom. It's like loud. Heaven's going to be loud. Hey, so don't, you know, hey, I don't know, the shepherds may be a little deaf or whatever, but suddenly they heard this angel sing, the hosts of angels. It was not like one or two. It's like, you know, when we were singing karaoke, we were very loud and everything. And then when it comes to church, we're very, you know. And sometimes in heaven, we have to translate to what heaven looks like. It is loud. It is loud. So I never hesitated when I was singing. Okay. I was, what was I doing? Wait, court has explanation of what, how I was singing karaoke. I was singing too slow, right? I was not keeping up to the rhythm. Oh, I was totally behind. But hey, me and Chesley rocked it loud and loud and loud. Okay. We didn't care. We didn't think it was like, oh, we don't know even the words. And it was like, wait, what's the... Because, and you know what was funny? I didn't even realize after they heard it and when Pastor Lina said that, it says in the, what we were singing, I forgot the song was. No, we didn't sing Sweet Carol. We were singing a Christmas carol. Which one? Joy to the World. And it says, and men their songs employ. I was like, yes, I feel very vindicated. The Chesley and me, we employed our songs. But I believe that God is releasing a song for everybody in this season. And it's funny is that until you don't get this song, and why I say this song is I grew up in Bombay, okay? And when we used to go to college, we hung out of trains. But during Christmas season, it was special. We all started singing Christmas carols in a local train, okay? It didn't matter whether you're Hindu, Muslim, whatever. It didn't matter because we decided we want to sing. And, you know, we have all the bass voices and all. Then Little Drummer Boy and Silent Night. But then everything was done with gusto. You know, it was not like... It was not chewing gum song. It was done loud, whether we knew the words, we didn't know the words. We just made the thing up, but we had to make the noise. And that's what's going to happen when you understand the song God wants to release to you. That you are able to make a din in the spirit. When I say din, it's not like, it's loud. It's going to be loud. Your noise in the spirit is going to be loud. It's going to change nations. It's going to change people. It's going to change people's group. It's not going to be, knock, knock. Uh-uh. That song, it says, will resound. And again, and again, and again. And again, and you're like, but why? I don't feel like that. It's not about your feelings. It's you basically believing that the song, and you're just singing it. I'm called here to make a noise. That's all I'm called here to make a noise. My grandmom said I was good about it. You know what? So I grew up in Bombay, right? And so we had a colony, and so we had like 5 buildings facing each other, right? And we lived on the 3rd story. And so we basically... like stood outside in the gallery and we talked to people across buildings, you know. We had a very communicative system, you know. It was, we didn't need WhatsApp groups and all that. We were, hey, like, ah, okay, everybody waved out. We knew what time people went to work, everything, right? And my grandmom, like if something happened and she like caned me or something, you know, what? Oh, y'all never got caned. I got caned. I picked my own cane. I used to go to the fair and pick my own cane and make the noise, swish, like the best swish. I took that, you know, but it was for caning me. Hey, you know, yeah, we call it cane. Switch, cane, okay. But hey, whatever. And so my grandmom wouldn't tell me, he's like, cry a little louder. Neighbors can't hear you. And the stupid me at that point would scream, like, you know. And she said, no, they can't still hear you. Keep louder. And I would be like, oh my God, this is just crazy. It's like, you know, how much I can scream. But I literally thought that I have to do that. But I'm encouraging you that the song that God puts in your life, sing it louder. Sing a little louder. You know, what's that song? It says, sing a little louder. But hey. Yeah, raise a hallelujah, raise that hallelujah. Okay, to me, hallelujah is not hallelujah. No, hallelujah is like, yeah, wave it, sing it, shout it. Hallelujah is that. That is praise. David was not outcast by his wife because he praised like, hallelujah. No. David went crazy. He sang, he danced, he did whatever it took, but he just did, and he praised God. It was not. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you know. Hey, that's what the Bible says, okay? The second part of this is, the shepherds said one to another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds were not people who just sat down after an encounter. You see, most times we choose to say, hey, I had an encounter. I think my quota of heaven is done. Let me sit down. I had this one prayer. I was touched. I was moved. And then let me sit down. Let me tap out. Nah, God's not in that business. The shepherds, now this is what you have to think about it. The shepherds left even their sheep, possibly, and went to search for Jesus. The encounter that you had about your life, about Jesus, doesn't mean that you just go back to what you were doing. There has to come a pursuit of Jesus. That's his faith-activated walk. That's what John was saying, faith-activated. The shepherds had to take this whole glory and now walk that glory out and go find the real reason of glory, Jesus. This invitation, this call, why you're in church, all this thing is not just so that you feel happy, you feel good. I say, I'm a Christian. No. It's for you to meet Jesus. The glory is coming. I laugh about it because I remember a man was healed of cancer with just one piece of glory dust. We put it on his tumor and our tumor just shrunk. And that's how glory works. The glory has to be activated. He was a Hindu man and he got healed. This is how the crazy is. The glory will cause you to move into a faith walk. And that, they went and they saw Jesus. Now, this is how crazy it is. Until they didn't see Jesus, they didn't say anything. They kept it to themselves. They were talking among themselves. So who was taking care of the sheep? Anybody? Think of it. The shepherd left and they went. Don't tell me they took all the 100 sheep and they went to Bethlehem and they said, oh, yeah. Somebody would drop their sheep and take it and go. No, they just went to Bethlehem. They must have said, okay, Bianca, yeah, you take care of all the sheep. We'll get you to go from Taco Bell. Hey, late night to go is 24 hours over there in Bethlehem. You're on the outside of the city, so we'll get you to go and we'll give you. Okay, but you take care of the sheep. They left what they had. Most people, you know what they do? No, I have work to do. I have business. I have this. I have commitments. And they basically, that faith or the prophetic word they get or whatever encounter they have, they ditch it and go back to their same lifestyle without moving into faith of meeting Jesus. This whole thing, I felt goosebumps, I felt tingling, I felt heat, I felt whatever. It's not that you felt that. It's for you to know him. That's why it is. That the whole essence of this is that you may know him. Okay? And I'm going to go, okay. We're going to go quick now. So verse 16. So they went with haste and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told them concerning the child. Not before they seen Jesus. You know, sometimes we do not meet Jesus when we talk about Jesus. And we are like empty vessels. That's what we are. Why people don't get saved? Why people don't get changed? Because we have not seen Jesus. We have not encountered Jesus. We have not gone face to face with Jesus. We just came to church and we feel that we have to go out and take this message and we have to make a noise. No, that's not the noise I want you to make. I want you to make a noise when you encounter him that it will come out of the heart of compassion. It will come out of the heart of the Spirit. And that noise is greater. That's the noise in the Spirit that you're called to make, not empty vessels. And for long, we have told people it's okay to be empty. It's okay to be without the Spirit of God. And no, you cannot. You will carry an empty message. It's like, you know, people preaching on the corner of the street. Bless their heart. But you need the Spirit of God if you have to convince the heart of man, because only the Spirit of God can convince the heart of man. You will unlock it in the Spirit. And that's what we have to do. And this is what it says. Hearing and walking in faith and seeing unlocks your speaking. You see, these shepherds, nobody. I don't even know their name. It's funny, in Google, they want to know what the names of the shepherd are. Who cares? It's like, how many sheep? They're questions. How many sheep did they have? I was like, I don't know. We ate them all. Like, you know, if that's what you want to know. Like, yeah, but it's like, what does it make? But these shepherds basically had to go. They had the encounter. They basically started walking out their faith. They went and seen Jesus. And then they proclaimed about him. This is what the shepherds did. It was not a lifestyle where like, okay, let me talk about Christmas. Oh, let me send you. Jesus loves you. But really, you have not encountered the love of Jesus. You have to encounter that love of Jesus, because it will change the message that you carry. It is funny. It's like, and we'll be like, but yeah, I'm saved. I met Jesus when I was 20 years old. No, no, no. Again, meet him again. Meet him again. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. And you'll hear something new. You'll hear something different. And he'll be like, and then this is where people make a mistake, or Christian people make a mistake. They think that 20 years ago, the message that Jesus had for you, it was burning at that point, is relevant, and God is still speaking the same message. Sometimes it is through, but sometimes God has something new for you. He wants to tell you, it's like, hey, you worked hard. Cammy, I have this for you. It's funny. It's like, I put this there. It's time to honor Cammy. And I said, it's like, wait, why is this? What you did was like the shepherd. You basically decided to get out of your job and walk to Africa and go to Africa. And everybody projected their fears and their insecurities onto you and saying, Cammy, oh, you're making a mistake. Oh, Cammy, you did this, you did that. But I just want to tell you, it's time to honor you. And so in front of everybody, say, we honor you. You walked out in faith what none of us could have done. You did that. And it's not just by mistake. What is the outcome of that? Whether the shepherds went back to their old life and the shepherds, they just had this one thing, but you decided to at least take that next step and walk out in faith. That's where you went. And do you think that because you walked out in faith that God is not going to be with you? You're not going to encounter God. And I have this for you, that God is going to meet with you. In the busyness, in how you felt this first semester went and everything, in this busyness, God is going to come. While you're busy doing your stuff, God is going to come and he's going to meet with you. And you're going to encounter him. Your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to see into things where you've never seen before. And I unlock in the name of Jesus. I unlock this new realm of this prophetic. I unlock this new realm of the spiritual where you do not even have to warm up. In the past, you would say, oh, I have to speak in tongues so much. I have to warm up so much. No, you're just going to go in like water. You're just going to slide in. This oil is going to take you. And so we right now anoint your feet with oil that you would walk into those things. You would slide into those things which were difficult before. There would be no hesitation in the spirit. There would be just a flow. Just a flow. And so, Father, we just release that. Honor. Where honor is due, we release honor. Just honor. Just right now, pouring over your head, honor. The oil of gladness in the midst of all this. The oil of gladness. We just pour it over you. Just pour it over you. What she did is commendable. What she did was so commendable that literally, I worried about it. And I'm not talking about for anybody else. On my behalf. On my this thing, I was like, wait, I projected all my fears on, I hope Cammy's going to do good. No, 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 no. It was the shepherds talked together. This is how funny it is. The shepherds, you have to talk together. You cannot be lone wolf. You cannot do this on your own. No, you have to talk together to say, hey, do you want to go see Jesus? Because every time you think that you want to go to see Jesus, you won't go by yourself. You always need somebody else's, like when Andrew went, Philip went, they all went in twos. Jesus could have said to them, hey, we can go to 12 different countries if one of you only go, right? But he said, go two by two. There's a reason God puts where you can talk to people, because sometimes it talks away your stupidity and you throw it out. Reasoning, it's just reasoning, you know? And you know when the shepherd spoke? This is how funny it is. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. Nobody said, we don't believe what you say. When you encounter Jesus, they won't. Nobody will even say, I don't believe what you're saying. And if they do, that's fine. But in reality, nobody said. They were like, oh, who are you? Why are you telling me what this is? And all. No, no, no. The Bible says this clearly. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled. If you meet this Jesus who I know, you will basically be able to talk this talk, and people will say, I believe him. They won't have this doubt in their heart and say, nah, this Jesus is too radical for me. Nah, it won't be that. It will be just easy, because it's not about you. It's about they meeting Jesus. Okay? And one part I put away is, ever wonder what these shepherds did after that in life? I don't know. But hey, they encountered the glory of God. They seen Jesus. Is that enough for your life? Just, is Jesus enough for your life? Meeting Jesus one time. That's all people have. Most people I know, like when I was saved, just had one encounter with Jesus, and for the rest of their life, they just lived their life for Jesus. One encounter, one meeting with Jesus. And so let's stand. So Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just want you to know that we love your son Jesus so much that we want to meet with him, oh God. That every day, oh God, every moment, oh God, that, Lord, our eyes want to see those eyes of fire, oh God. Our eyes want to just look into your eyes, Jesus. And our eyes want to know you, oh God, the way your heart moves, oh God, what you want to do, oh God. So in these next weeks, oh God, leading up to the next year and everything, oh God, that, Lord, right now, release what you have, a song in our hearts, oh God. A song in our hearts. A song in our mouths. So we speak that song, oh God. Release that song, oh God, from heaven, oh God, into our mouths, oh God, into our hearts, oh God. And we release that, oh God, what you want us to proclaim, oh God, into the nations, oh God. And we just release that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.